This morning's message comes from Proverbs 3, the entire chapter of Proverbs 3. We're going to read the entire chapter. It's quite long, but I want you to pay attention to the words. I'm going to be in the New Living Translation, and the title of our message is entitled Plans on an Easel. And so I want you to listen to the promises found in this scripture this morning. So let's go to the Lord now. Well, let me pray over the word first. Gracious and merciful God, we come to you and we ask your blessings and our ability to hear your word this morning, as well as to take into our spirit and our soul the message that's provided. We ask that you use these words to the encouragement of our faith and our ministry here at Bethel. We thank you for the friends that are here this morning with us. We welcome them to our service. We thank you for the blessings of our brothers and sisters in Christ who will hear your word now and who will use that word to share your message of the gospel to those they know and even those they don't. We ask all these things in our living Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So our scripture reading is, again, Proverbs 3, the entire chapter. Listen to what God has to say here. My child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then He will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline and don't be upset when He corrects you. For the Lord corrects those He loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. Joyful is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding. The wisdom is more profitable than silver, and her wages are better than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare to her. She offers you long life in her right hand and riches and honor in her left. She will guide you down delightful paths. All her ways are satisfying. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Happy are those who hold her tightly. By wisdom, the Lord founded the earth. By understanding, He created the heavens. By His knowledge, the deep fountains of the earth burst forth, and the dew settles beneath the night sky. My child, don't lose sight of common sense and discernment. Hang on to them, for they will refresh your soul. They are like jewels on a necklace. They keep you safe on your way, and your feet will not stumble. You can go to bed without fear. You will lie down and sleep soundly. You need not be afraid of sudden disaster or the destruction that comes upon the wicked. For the Lord is your security. He will keep your foot from being caught in a trap. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it's in your power to help them. If you can help your neighbor now, don't say, "I'll come back tomorrow and then I'll help you." Help them now. Don't plot harm against your neighbor, for those who live nearby trust you. Don't pick a fight without reason when no one has done you harm. Don't envy violent people or copy their ways. Such wicked people are distasteful to the Lord, but He offers His friendship to the godly. The Lord curses the house of the wicked, but He blesses the home of the upright. The Lord mocks the mockers, but He graciouses the humble in their presence. The wise inherit honor, but fools are put to shame. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, I know that was a long chapter, But it was important. I am not going to spend the morning talking about every single element of that chapter, but I am going to spend just a few minutes of time to share with you the Cliff Note versions. So again, to all of you, welcome. Thank you for coming in the foul weather, and welcome back to God's house. This is a long but powerful scripture, and I'm asking you now, did you catch what it said? Well, if you didn't or you did, I'm going to try to hit the high points. God is simply, in this scripture, building you one day at a time. He is giving you promises within this scripture, just like plans on an engineering easel. He is graciously providing us His wisdom, and we are to share with Him our confidence and trust in His Word here this morning. It says to trust God with all your heart and soul, and He will crown your efforts with success if you simply trust in Him. He will crown all of your efforts with success simply because you believe and trust in Him. It also says this morning, and hear these words, the blessings of God on your life are not dependent upon your friends or your friendships. They are not dependent upon your fame or your popularity. They are not dependent upon your fortune or your personal wealth. They are not even dependent upon your feelings. But it is solely dependent upon your faith. This passage this morning, and also in the children's message, that whole message is about faith and trust in Christ Jesus. Trusting Him when you believe, even when you believe in Him but you have doubt, still trusting in Him. I know all of you, even Trevor said it this morning, oh Derek, knowing that I was going to turn that glass upside down, he even though he believed that the index card would hold the water, he still had a hint of doubt. But what did he do? He allowed me to do it because he trusted what I was going to show him. And so did the other children, and even so did you. That's exactly what I'm trying to share with you this morning. Even in the moment of your doubt, you trust God always. What a promise. What a promise. What a revelation it is for the believer to hear the words read in this passage this morning. God will direct us on a crown and share with us in our efforts, and He will provide us immense success. Now, it also says in Scripture this morning that God corrects us. He does this because He loves us and He wishes for us not to continue to stumble in sin after sin. Now, I had a hard time understanding this as a young man, especially when my dad got the belt out. And he would say, now this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. No, it's not, Dad. But actually, it does. As a father, when Ashlyn and I do not see eye to eye, and we are, it's often, we do not see eye to eye, and I yell, get angry, she yells, gets angry, and we have a tiff, she cries, sometimes. But my point to this whole message is, it hurts me just as much. All I'm trying to do is give her wisdom for a better tomorrow. She doesn't see it that way, and I have walked in her shoes 1,000 times. And sometimes as Christians, we do not see that way either when God is trying to talk to us as our Father. On the face of our money, if you pulled out a dollar bill this morning, you would see these words, in God we trust. Some time ago, and also in most recent years, those words have been challenged by many. In fact, there was a legal case, and it was heard right here at home in the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals in Richmond, Virginia. The court ruled that the words could remain on a facade of a building or on the dollar or wherever they existed. On coins, anywhere in America, they could remain. Now, for us, that was a great success. In God, we do trust, or so we say. But I want you to pay attention to what Judge King said in his ruling. The Fourth Circuit ruled and said, herefore characterized the phrase, "In God we trust," when used as the national motto on coins or currency, as a patriotic or ceremonial motto, it has no theological or ritualistic impact whatsoever. That's how the court ruled. What the court actually said in layman's terms is they don't care what the motto says. It could say, "In government we trust," on our money or on our buildings. It has no theological or ritualistic value or impact. My question to you this morning, after listening to what we read in the scripture this morning and what we demonstrated in the children's message, my question to you this morning is, do you believe that "In God we trust" has no biblical or theological meaning to you, the believer? The question, do you believe that? As followers of Christ, this is where trust lives. I want to share a statement that our old beloved football coach and our history teacher taught us and used to say in class. His name was Max Swift. He used to say, "Belief without action is pointless." And if we talk about "In God we trust" and what we believe as believers, and using Mr. Swift's statement, "Belief without action is pointless," friends, this is where our faith rests. This morning in Proverbs 3:5-6, you heard these words, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." I even shared those same sentiments with the children. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. This means you will be confident in God's care for you. When we say we trust in God, we trust, that means we are confident in His care for us. Do you trust God like that? Is the question this morning. Hopefully, after the children's message, you do. It's proof in the pudding. If you don't, you should. Trusting God is looking beyond what you can see and rationalize and seeing how God sees it. You are the image. I am the image on God's easel. He makes changes in us every day. We are trusting. We are confident in His ability to send us the way we need to go. But we must trust and accept what He shares with us and what He teaches us each and every day. You see, the truth is, God is perfect in His love, meaning He always does the best for you and me. He always takes us into account and shares the best with you and me. Now, if we truly believe this, that means we will trust Him even when we don't understand. We will trust Him in the difficult times, in our misery, in our sorrow, in our anxiety. We will trust God. Let me give you two quick examples of trust. Your mom says to you, "Would you do something for me?" You say, obviously, "What is it, Mom?" And she responds, "Never mind. I'm not going to tell you what it is. Just trust me." Do you do it? The question. Second example. A stranger comes up to you. You don't know them. "Would you do something for me?" Your response is going to be likely, "What do you need?" or "What is it?" The stranger responds just like your mom, "Never mind, just trust me. Will you do it?" I don't know the answer to your question or to those questions for you personally this morning, but I do want to share with you quickly what the difference is. The difference is this: it's love. It's the greatest gift given to mankind by God Himself. It's love. Love is the difference in those two scenarios. Because you love your mom enough and know that her well enough and know that she would never ask you to do anything that would harm you, embarrass you, or put you in a position that would not be in your best interest, you're going to trust your mother and carry that out. But the stranger, on the other hand, is different. It's going to cause you question. But I want you to listen to what God says to you here. Listen to these words. You know them well. They're in Scripture. To know Him is to love Him. To love Him is to trust Him. To trust Him is to obey Him. And to obey Him is to be blessed. Let me say that last one again. To obey Him is to be blessed. We have to remember that God sees the end in every situation in our lives before the beginning ever happens. He will provide us a fruitful ending, regardless if it's in our joy, our pain, our sorrow, our grief, or our misunderstanding. I call your attention to the second part of this morning's verse. And lean not on your own understanding. It's what Scripture told you this morning. Lean means to support yourself or leaning on something or someone else that is slightly stronger than you are. And in the children's message this morning, I proved who was the strongest of those three. I showed you who was the strongest. Now, this doesn't mean we are to do without understanding of wisdom. If you read this passage, if you go back home and read Proverbs 3, you will see that the majority of it talks about wisdom. So this doesn't mean we are to be without understanding or wisdom. It doesn't mean that we quit using the brain God gave us. It doesn't mean that we don't use common sense. However, it does mean that we are not to rely on our reasoning or our intelligence of certain matters, our own thoughts solely as our guiding principle. We have to seek God's guidance, and we have to trust in what He's telling us. I'll share a personal statement with you. In my 50 years of living, I have learned that sometimes the right thing is not always the reasonable thing to do. And I'm going to give you two examples of that in Scripture. David and Goliath. You remember the story. Saul wanted David to use the armor and the sword in this fight. One would believe, hey, that's certainly reasonable given the circumstances. But David said no. It wasn't in the right context or situation. Instead, David used a slingshot and a rock. And he wore no armor. And he slayed the giant. And remember my last example last week in our sermon, people thought Noah was crazy to simply build an ark on dry land. But what every one of these Bible heroes have in common is they were confident in God's word. They were confident in God's care of them. In short, they trusted Him, just like the children trusted me to show the example of a body filled with the Spirit and how we trust in Jesus Christ. In Bible study, we have used this term all too often. God, show me a sign and we'll drive that way. Well, that's often what we're looking for. And here's what I want to share with you. I don't know if you've seen signs from God before, and I hope you have, but God knows our hearts perfectly. He knows what we need perfectly. But He often has a different way of giving us what we need other than the way we believe we should have received it. Jesus said to His disciples, "If one of you wants to be great, he must be the servant of the rest." This means that your sign that you're looking for many times should say this: leave all human reasoning right here on the table and turn and face God and trust in the message that He has for you. Take what you believe you understand and give it to God so He can show you what you need to understand. This is how it goes. God, I'm going to trust You in Your way today. When you leave this place today and you get in your car and you're heading home through the snow, you're going to say, God, I trust You in Your way today. When you do this, friends, that's where you're living in faith. Sometimes you will not understand. Sometimes you do not have the reason. And it's okay. Leave it behind you and turn to God to give you the answer. To close, I want to simply repeat what I opened with. The blessings of God on your life is not dependent on your friendships or your friends, your fame or your popularity, your fortune or your wealth. And it's certainly not dependent upon your feelings, and now I say your understanding. It is simply dependent upon your faith, on what you believe, and how hard you believe it. One thing is for sure. When you leave this chapel of faith today, you are either going to live according to the wisdom and divine understanding of God's Word in the gospel where all the promises are, both the promises for the children and the promises here today in the adult message, or you're going to live according to mankind's wisdom. Now, I call your attention to Proverbs 3. Over half of that passage was on wisdom. Not one bit of it was mankind's wisdom. So I leave you with this statement. The choice is yours, how you leave this house of faith this morning. The choice is yours. Now, I have a copy of the easel that you're being designed on. You have a copy of how you're being built and the promises that exist in your life. Use it. Share it. Live it. That is faith. And when you do that, you put all of your trust in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who, like the index card, will stay with you all of your remaining days. Amen.